Yes. So text 20. For the soul there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever existing, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. So, what are the main points? So, any main points in text 20? Last week, the discussion. So what does Prabhupada discusses in purport, text 20? So without looking at the purport, can anybody tell what six transformations the body goes through? Six transformations, right?
Birth, childhood.
Birth, then stays for some time, then procreate, dwindle.
Then maintain.
It sustains for some time.
Yeah.
And vanishes. So that's the six. Prabhupada discusses about that.
I tore my knees are busted. Had accident last Friday.
Accident?
No. Self-inflicted accident. I just slipped. Okay. I was getting down.
Was there a note in this room?
What?
Like a note lying down?
Note open.
So, any points? Anybody can recall any points?
Consciousness is the symptom of soul, existence of soul.
Body changes, but soul does not change. The presence of body, because soul is present in the body, it grows or whatever changes happens. When the soul lives, body doesn't change. So the point is soul doesn't change, whereas body changes.
From the last
text 20.
We also talked about one point which comes to my mind was around since the soul is not born, so that's why there is no past or present for the soul, right? Is that what it was, the kutastha?
Yeah.
Kutastha is different?
Yeah. Kutastha,
Kutastha is it doesn't change.
Doesn't change. But that's the point, true. Because the soul doesn't have it doesn't take birth, so it doesn't have
past,
Prabhupada,
past.
Yeah, clear. There is no past, present or future.
And you said two birds, like...
Mm. Yeah, what's that analogy?
Two birds sitting on a branch, one eating, but the other one is observing. Turned away and then eating.
Yeah, but you have to be more... who is bird, who is eating bird, who is watching bird.
The bird which is watching is Krishna, like super soul. And the
Parma.
Other bird,
no, specifically Parma. You should use Parma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other bird which is eating or busy is the soul.
Jiva.
The two birds go from tree to tree, so basically the eating bird is taking the other bird from body.
Mm-hmm. So what does that compare to? Tree to tree means
body to body. Basically it's trying to enjoy more fruits and more fruits on different trees and different bodies. So
and what happens fruits when it eat fruits? So what is it all the time?
Happy?
You find this, is it happy all the time?
Sometimes sour, sometimes sweet.
Sometimes sour, sometimes sweet.
No, that's fine.
Pain and pleasure.
Yeah, so sometimes it finds a sweet fruit, right? And sometimes the same other fruit in the same tree, it will be sour. So that's the
happiness
and distress, right?
Yeah.
Then what happens?
What's the solution?
Yeah, what's the solution for that?
What the eating bird has to do?
Turn around,
and take instructions. Then it will stop going from tree to tree.
Yeah.
And go to a scripture.
So I think in purport Prabhupada discusses that very detail. So we have to establish that lost relationship, right? We have lost the relationship, eternal relationship with Krishna. So when you establish that relationship, how can we establish that relationship?
Chanting.
Especially with knowledge, right? We don't know right now, that's why we are trying to get knowledge. When we know that, you know, there is, we are eternal, we are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we should know our duty. What's our duty? To always
serve.
To serve. So that's our eternal relationship with the Lord or the God, right? So once you establish, then that means eating bird turning towards the super soul, right? Acknowledging, yeah, I'm suffering here. So then the Paramatma from within, for us also, sometimes, you know, you get, so whenever we try to do some stuff, right, something, you know it's not good, but you try to do, then from inside you get, you know, intelligence, basically intelligence, it's some, always, right, to mind, like, you know, some, from where you kind of get that intuition. So that's where usually Paramatma reveals, that's how Paramatma reveals. You know, don't do, it's not good for you. If you are, you know, your mind is clear and then if you are under control of your senses, of course you cannot hear. If you are Goswami kind of thing who controls the senses, then you can really understand what Paramatma is talking.
So that then, verse where, you know, Prabhu is talking about the inspiration or the direction given by the super soul, right? It's 10.10. Krishna says, Tesham Satatiyuktana, Vajitam Pritipurvakam, Dadami Buddhiyogantam, Yenamam Upayantide. He says, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So initially we may feel like, you know, I'm lost, I'm trying on my own, trying to do something. No, is it really Krishna seeing my service? Right? But if you are sincere, slowly he guides from within. Within as a super soul, and of course when we take initiation, without as a spiritual master. And you were asking what is within and without, right? So from inside as a super soul, from outside as a spiritual master, both of them cooperate to guide the soul back to spiritual world.
Super
and
soul.
Then the next verse, Krishna says, you know, to show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So this is the transcendental knowledge. So Krishna from within, he illuminates the transcendental knowledge. So because we know soul is what? What is the nature of soul?
Satchitananda,
right? Full of knowledge, happiness and
eternal.
But do we always feel we are full of happiness and knowledge? Mm-hmm. Right? We are so much, you know, sometimes doomed. And so that means because of coverings, we feel opposite of Satchitananda. Right? But when Krishna from within, he gives the knowledge, then, you know, we can get out of this darkness. So that's why it's not, Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition. It's not like I wear a dress. It's just a part of clearing things, that's all. It's already
it's
there.
Not a dress.
Why is it called self-realization?
Yeah, how the soul takes the garments like that.
Why is it called self-realization?
Because
it's
already there, so we have to just
realize
that there's nothing to get from
it. Yeah, so we don't need to go and get it from different
areas. It's already inside you.
Yeah.
That we have to realize. So that's what this knowledge gives us, to realize that, you know. So other point was I wanted to tell you. Yeah. So Paramatma is so merciful. Krishna is so merciful. That's why he always accompanies a living entity. See, if you take even like a lowest animal or, you know, ant from ant or even, you know, some kind of, you know, insects in a stool, right? He stays within that soul because that's a living entity. So Paramatma always stays and he tries to guide that living entity. See, he's so merciful. So we should never be, you know, kind of, you know, think that nobody is, you know, helping me or something, because Paramatma is always there. Only when you turn as eating bird, when you turn and say, you know, prayers. Basically for us, it's all about prayers.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we can connect in the first, when you go to in front of the deities, you always pray. You know, you help me, you know, I'm struggling. I want to really come to you. When you pray, that sincerely when you pray, then automatically Paramatma reveals, as we read in 10th 11th, right?
10th.
So the intelligence automatically it will get revealed. So always Paramatma is always there. We are never alone. And we never can achieve anything. Anyway, alone, by doing alone, we can never achieve. And Prabhupada gives example of the analogy of a stick. If it's just one stick, it's just
snap.
We can snap it, right? Easy. Just. But if it's multiple sticks, you can never break it. So in devotional service, you will be never be able to do it alone. So that's why it's with association, with the like-minded people, you associate, you chant in a group. So that's how it becomes stronger. You can easily achieve things.
So regarding Paramatma, I had one experience, like I wanted to share like with all of you. So my brother came to here to do masters, like he's younger to me, 1 year younger to me. So after some years he came and he was doing in Colorado. So, and we were there here in Seattle and he invited us to come for his graduation. And of course he went astray and he cultivated a lot of bad habits, everything, and he stayed with us for some time and we told him about prasadam a little bit. He was better, but then of course once you go back to your own habits and everything. And he used to stay with roommates and everything, and we went there. So poor thing, he tried to clean the house as much as he can, but it was such a mess. Next day I was trying to take a shower and I couldn't stand the bathroom. I came out crying. It's like, we cannot stay here. It's too, I cannot bear the smell and it's so bad. So immediately we changed to hotel. But the realization I had was, so-called being a sister, supposed to be very affectionate and loving, right? I couldn't stand. Then I felt, Krishna is not leaving him. Even though he is doing so many sinful activities, right, Krishna is not leaving him. So then I was sharing this with my teacher, Bhakti Gita teacher. Then he told, once you have that realization, it helps you a lot. That it's not like theoretical, like, Krishna is there. But you know that, in every, whatever nonsense we do, Lord is able to tolerate us, actually. None of us, maybe, our parents, everybody will leave us, but he will never leave us.
So I heard very, very interesting one devotee here in Seattle. So he goes to, I think, Seattle to work. So what he does is, in Seattle downtown, if you go, there are a lot of time homeless people,
mm-hmm.
they'll be lying on the road. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, they are drunk, they smell actually, this thing I've seen many times. So this devotee, what he did is, to avoid them, he goes almost next street kind of thing. He crosses the signal, he goes on the other side. Then he had a realization saying, I'm avoiding that other person, but Krishna is inside.
Mm.
He's tolerating and he's watching, he's going, he's seeing what the other person. So that's how merciful the Lord is. He never leaves living individual. He always accompanies. So we should always have that strong faith. Whatever happens.
Because even to enjoy, even to do sinful activities, we need his guidance. Right? We don't even know. Somebody asked how to become drunkard. Prabhupada said, associate with drunkards. Once you have a desire to become drunkard, super soul will say, go to this pub. There you'll find people, do these things, right? It's all this guidance is given by the super soul. So he's neutral. As a super soul, he's neutral. In the sense that if you want to do sinful activities, he will give guidance. If you want to take positive things, he will give guidance. But once you start taking devotional service, as Bhagavan, Krishna is partial to devotees. Then he takes special care of devotees. But Bhagavan, Paramatma is neutral. In the sense, according to, what your karma and your desires, he will sanction and give knowledge. But otherwise, Bhagavan is special. Like he, once you start approaching Krishna, he gives special protection. Like, he can even, if suppose some big karma reaction, karmic reaction is due, you may get away with just a small thing, minor thing as a token. Or sometimes you may get reactions in dreams. So that, you don't face the severity of the reaction. So Bhagavan can be more personal.
So the super soul you are referring to is Paramatma or is the Bhagavan?
Paramatma.
Paramatma is the super soul.
It's basically 400 Vishnu form within your heart.
Hmm.
It stays in the heart. So that was, yeah, that was the discussion about Paramatma, because Prabhupada talks about that. So then text 21, I think more reasons, you know, how the, again it's about the soul, how the soul is eternal. Hope Artha, how can a person who knows the soul is indestructible, eternal, unborn and immutable kill anyone or cause anyone to kill? And here Prabhupada discusses about law book of mankind, right? Manu, given by Manu. So we discussed that also. Any murderer, he should be hanged immediately, right? Otherwise, he will not get a benefit. We are making him suffer more. If you don't follow how the law book is given, that person is going to suffer more because of the karma or whatever he has done.
Why, how he is going to suffer more?
You tell me.
You missed the discussion.
Yeah, last week.
Oh, so somebody else should answer, whoever has attended.
So why we should...
Take his life? Person who committed murder, why Manu Samhita recommends that, you know, best thing is for him to be... for his life to be taken?
He will continue killing other people and adding karma more and more.
Or maybe even that single person's life.
Why we are saying maybe? We all attended, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't attend, right?
Next. For just taking that one life, there is still karma has to be gone through, right? So, this is part of it that probably negates it.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Anybody else? We attend what?
Balance
is very... Give us a reaction.
Yeah, the way it will be just...
Yes. So it gives immediate reaction because he took somebody's life. So his immediate reaction is his life should be taken. Otherwise, next life he has to suffer more. That's why capital punishment, so called. People say, no, you should not take this life. That's not so good.
See, first of all, we don't have any right to take
somebody
other living entity's life.
Mm.
So once you take it, that means you have to repay that. Means your life will be taken by. So by keeping like this, maybe, you know, you'll be kind of extending. But at some point, that person has to take, you know, he has to leave the body. He has to suffer because that's how it is. Laws of nature are very strict. There is no escape. So putting it in a jail, you may be, you know, making them suffer more. But at some point of time, that guy has to suffer. He has to lose his life. So Prabhupada says here very nicely in the purport.
Prabhuji, in that case, the person who is taking his life, he also has to suffer.
So it's
so
not like
taking
a
his life. Right?
So other guy is not doing like a murder. It's according to the laws. Like
so,
the
if
court.
You read here, right? So the king, for example, right? We gave what analogy we gave last time? Like somebody
surgeon,
right? One example. The other example, more closer, appropriate
army,
example. Right?
Soldier.
You know.
They are doing there for a cause, right?
Under the direction of an authority.
So the order is coming from the
top level.
The top level government. So that soldier will not be held responsible for his killing.
What he's killing. Okay.
But the same soldier, if he comes and kills outside, he has to suffer reaction. Yeah, that's how it is. So that's why it's law book. You have to follow it. So the kings are supposed to follow the law book. And the more relevant, like, you know, current politics, nobody follows the law book. So everything is in mess. So that's one thing.
I mean, in this purport, it doesn't talk about any of the karma balance or reaction and all, right? It says that since it is in the law book or the Manusmriti Samhita, so they have to follow.
Yes.
Period,
yes.
Right? It's a code of justice, so they have to follow.
Yeah, law book of mankind is, that means it's...
He actually kind of mentions, like in Manu Samhita, the law book of mankind, it is supported that a murderer should be condemned to death so that in the next life, he will not have to suffer for the great sin he has committed.
Which is like an indirect.
Yeah.
It's a nature's law.
Karma that they are going to suffer in the next life.
Whatever goes,
right.
Comes so around.
Everybody pays for it.
Yeah, everybody has to pay.
Whatever the karma of the person who got killed, what happens to him, why he is getting killed first place, because of his karma.
Yeah, because of his own that.
See, what happened if you, for example, this you can put that same condition here, right? If you put that person, if you keep and like maybe you know. That next
keep
this life you're making,
then
next
life
you
are
life
going to get killed based on your karma.
And especially Prabhupada talks about cow killing. You know what happens the person who kills cows?
He will be on
the reaction.
It, right?
Hmm? We have seen that picture, right?
Yeah, right.
It will
the
kill.
He will take the
be a cow and somebody else. The cow is going
but
to
how many lives? Do you know that? What's the nature's punishment for killing cow? Have nobody heard anything?
No.
Whatever number of hairs on the cow, if you kill a cow, number of hairs on the cow, you have to go through that many lives. You will be get killed that many times. So that's millions. It's not... and of course, compared to the eternality, Brahma's, you know, anybody knows how much, how many years Brahma lives?
Some million. 311 trillion.
400 billion years he lives. So when you compare to his lifespan, of course it's, you know, it's
for us it's like ant is today there, tomorrow not there, right? It's like that.
For ant, if you take, for ant, he lives maybe, some ants maybe one day, and I don't know, some
ants live longer.
No, different types of
ants. And all
yeah,
which are live
maybe
like
for,
half,
for them, if they see the human life, if they can think, for them, it's
we
like
Brahma.
Brahma.
For them, we are Brahma.
For them, it is Brahma. So for us, that Brahma is real Brahma. Right? No, that's how we can relate to you. We can relate. Yeah, it's very practical. So, so then text 22. As a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. So what analogy Prabhupada gives here, right? He gives some...
This is the birds.
Yeah, the birds.
Yeah. So it, he explains.
Did you cover this?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Or 22?
Yeah, we did 22.
So what is the advice for Arjuna from all these verses?
Don't worry about the
why
body.
Do you lament about it? Why do you lament about these bodies, right? You know, when you know that the soul is indestructible in you and you need to follow the justice.
Duties, yeah. And anyway, body you cannot save also. Anyway, they are going to die. And other advantages, if they die now, they may get younger bodies. Right? Something like that. And there is another point, is like one who lays down the life in the sacrificial altar or in the proper battlefield is actually cleansed of reactions. Instead of, you know, Arjuna was saying, if I fight this war, I'm going to get sinful reactions, right? But Krishna is saying, if you, you know, even if you die in the battlefield, you're going to be freed of reactions. So that there is no cause for Arjuna's lamentation. So you should continue with the war.
So I was thinking, you know, practical... so the reason we have taken the material body is because we are
envious,
or we have committed sins, right? That's the only thing. Otherwise, we will not be here. There are more number of spiritual living entities in the spiritual world. This our material world is, I think, it's just 1/4, right? 1/3 or 1/4?
1/4.
So that means we have more unlimited number of living entities. People in the spiritual world. So some people like us, we know we have done something or something. So if you do devotional service, so we know there is already, because of our previous life, we have taken this life. Whatever we have accumulated based on our karma and all, right? We have taken this life. And whatever we do in this life, that's what we want to predict our next life. This is basically a preparation for the next life. So we know we have done something, like we have karma carrying, already the karma is acting, nobody can stop that, it's already, you know, working through us, whatever we have done is. So how can we stop the effects of karma acting on us in this life? Like what's the more practical for us, how can we do it? We know surrender, but what more specific?
Which verse
surrender?
Is that? No, which verse is that? Like Krishna says, I will protect you from the actions of surrender.
I don't think they will. Because we are doing chanting and all, right? So what happens, because what do we do in chanting? Basically we are asking for service, right? We are asking Krishna to engage in his service. So we are trying, because we are already doing something.
18.66.
Yeah, 18.66. So this is what Krishna answers, right? Krishna gives, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Right? That's what... So already, you know, whenever you try to chant or having this discussion, we are just reading Bhagavad Gita. That itself is a devotional service. It's not separate from devotional service. Because every one of you is taking some time to come here. And you could have done 100 things instead of coming here. You could have done... But you are taking that time because you have a sincere desire to please Krishna or listen about Krishna. So you are already engaging. So that's what Krishna will do. So he is trying to put a stop on all the karmic sinful reactions, whatever in the red, right? So he tries to put hold on. You know, it's this holding like a gate, the flood gate or something. He has put a gate. So when you keep continuing more, become more sincere. Basically, everything is come based on the sincerity. So, if you have become more sincere, right? Then automatically, all the desire, all the reactions, they kind of get dissolved. He takes care of, as Shamla said, right? Instead of maybe, you know, you're destined to get into accident, you will maybe get a small cut. Because Krishna can change anything, because he is master of the material world, material nature, right? He's the master. So he can do anything. It's nothing, you know, that he cannot do. So that's why, you know, we are already doing it. So that's the practical result we are getting. We may not be aware of it, but that's what we are, you know, our karmas, actions, everything is put on hold until we are, you know, practice.
So how many of us feel like very refreshed after Friday discussion? Like, you know, whole week we are so tired with work, everything. Friday evening, it may seem like so tiring, you know, should I go there now, like that. But how many of you feel energized after the discussion?
Yeah. After the discussion, or even before coming to the discussion.
Like, you know, we are not forcing you to say.
Yeah, don't doubt, it's all discussion.
Because it's all about Krishna. That's what we also feel, like now our teacher has come, we are studying Bhakti Vaibhav, like Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Every day, 7:30 to 9 o'clock night, we have class. Imagine, whole day
not
we have to go to work, 9:30. So, no, whole day we have to do standing and prayers, everything, and work, cooking, everything, and then come and sit, attend the class. But that's so refreshing. The Prabhu was, I was saying, you know, how is it like that? At the end of the day, we should be so tired, ready to sleep. Prabhu is saying, whole day we are thinking about so many things, mind is so distracted. But when we talk about Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, it's so peaceful.
Relaxing.
Then you'll feel so good.
So we discuss this. What is that? All the topics is? That's a food for?
Soul.
Soul. Because we are actually soul. Soul cannot be satisfied by any other means.
Cage.
That's why we feel more refreshed.
You can tell the cage also.
Which one?
Cage.
Oh, the soul, it's like, you know, compared to a bird inside the cage. Soul is compared to a bird inside the cage. Right now, most of us, what we do is, most of the time, we try to polish the cage outside.
Wear this dress, buy this car.
No, just, you know, keep the cage clean, shining, everything. But if you don't feed the bird inside the cage, what happens?
The bird will die.
The bird dies. Then what's the use of the cage? So that's what most of us, we are all going through. We are trying to, you know, without giving proper food for the soul, we are starving the soul. So we are already doing, I just wanted to see, you know, whatever we are doing, it's all devotional service. And not a single second you are spending here or, you know, chanting anything, it will never get wasted. Because we know it's a spiritual bank account. So it's always, that account always increases, it never decreases, like what we do here. Always money will be there in that account. And it may increase also, we don't know, sometimes, you know, somebody gives
maybe you are giving bad
bonus.
Food to the bird and the bird is really sick, so that can happen.
Oh yeah, no, that's true, if you take a bad food, yeah, already. So it's good, everybody, you know, your whatever, basically I wanted to, you know, sincerely appreciate your time, taking for coming all the way, you know, Bellevue, Issaquah, many places on Friday evening. So I'm pretty sure at least I have, yeah, even we were like this maybe, you know, 7 or 8 years back, so I have realized the positive things we have got. So it's just sharing with all of you. So I'm pretty sure one day, you know, you will be very eager to share with others, you know, bring, you know, share with more people, help others. That will be amazing. Krishna arranges, you know, some prasadam like this.
Yes, you're so lazy. I have so many desires.
Yeah, very nice. Good. Okay, so we'll go to text 23 today. नैनं चिन्तन्ति शस्त्राणि
नैनं दहति पावकः न चैनं क्रीडयन्ति अहो न शोषयति मारुतः
नैनं चिन्तन्ति शस्त्राणि
नैनं दहति पावकः न चैनं क्रीडयन्ति अहो न शोषयति मारुतः.
The soul can never be cut to pieces by any weapon, nor burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind.
So here more, it's like Krishna is talking about again the soul, and here especially it's, you know, these are all considered material elements, right? Pieces by a weapon, it's made, weapon usually it's made from the earth element. Then nor burned by fire, so it's fire, nor moistened by
water,
so water is one more ingredient, main ingredient, nor withered by the wind, so air. So basically in, from this we can conclude that no material conditions, right, for example earth, water, air, ether, can affect the soul. That's what you can,
ether, just four.
Of course we have mind, intelligence, ego and all, this is mainly four things which material elements, it cannot affect soul. And in one of the lectures Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada, he talks about like this particular words, it's puzzle scientists, no, it's a, like a puzzle for scientists.
What's
right?
A puzzle?
This particular one, like soul cannot, nor can be cut into this thing. Because usually the human body, we are all made from earth, right? Like earth, this thing. Water, of course, we are all water also. And we live in earth, this the environment or our condition. But also there are living entities in the ocean. Like that's a water, right? So their body is built by, like, you know, built to handle water or live in water. Basically, there are so many living entities underneath the ocean, like, you know, the they'd never come up actually. They are built completely to stay inside the water. So, and because the Prabhupada point here is, in the lecture he says, so there are lot of living entities in the sun planet. So basically, there are lot of living entities. Sun planet is all fire, right? It's a fiery. So there are living entities in fire. So there are bodies
that
which can sustain
stand,
fire.
Stand.
But the scientists, everybody, cannot agree that.
Not yet.
It's not. So Prabhupada says, it, because they see through their vision, and it's all based on their experiences, their own experiences. And what's wrong with their experiences? If, when we say our own experience, what's wrong with that experience?
For example, we can get cheated. We like to, our senses are limited, our tendency to cheat.
So mainly Prabhupada says we have imperfect senses. So when we use our own experience, and our experience is based on our senses, our mind, whatever that, right, false ego, all those things, then that means it's a wrong, they're coming into a wrong conclusion. So it defeats scientists in this, you know, in the lecture he talks about it.
Another point I heard is in the lecture, Prabhupada is saying there are two ways to describe something. One is to tell about its characteristics, like, you know, for example, soul is it never changes, and actually most of the time it's always never
positive.
Telling positive things, like, you know, body, maybe, you know, body goes through this transformation, body deteriorates or whatever, right? Or other way is to say what that is not. There are two ways to describe. One is
negative,
what is what
positive,
it is,
negative.
Or one is what it is not. So that's what Krishna is using here, saying, you know, soul is never cut by weapons, never moistened by water, never burned by fire, never withered by wind. Like that, negation. It's explanation by negation.
Yeah, it's called negation. But main point is, any material cannot affect the soul. That's the main point from here.
This form of speech is called the litotes. You know, there is a form of speech where you say that he, like when you explain, he is no mean person, right? I mean, mean
means
is supposed to be bad, but then you say he is no mean person.
Means
yes.
Means.
So that figure of speech is called litotes.
All kinds of weapons, both flame weapons, rain weapons, tornado weapons, etc., are unable to kill the spirit soul.
Mm.
It appears that there were many kinds of weapons made up earth, water, air, ether, etc., in addition to the modern weapons of fire. Even the nuclear weapons of the modern age are classified as fire weapons, but formerly there were other weapons made of all different types of material elements. Fire weapons were contracted by water weapons, which are now unknown to modern science. Nor do modern scientists have knowledge of tornado weapons. Nonetheless, the soul can never be cut into pieces nor annihilated by any number of weapons, regardless of scientific devices.
So this one especially, you know, you have seen Ramayana and Mahabharata,
yeah,
to
yeah.
relate to that, you know. Somebody throws some fire,
right?
I remember in the
yeah.
somebody puts water,
all
so basically Prabhupada in the lecture, he talks about this. Basically we say, right, by putting a nuclear weapon we are going to kill everybody.
Mm.
So he's telling the tiny politicians and all, like basically the politicians only discuss all this, right? I'm going to put a nuclear weapon on your country, all that. So they cannot take anybody's lives. They cannot because
soul is you cannot kill the soul, right?
You cannot kill the soul. That's one thing. And it's without the will of Krishna, you cannot even like, you know, take somebody's life
body.
Also or body. You cannot. That's everything should be under the will of Krishna. That's how it happens. Even this material world, creation, even a blade of grass doesn't move without Krishna's permission. That's how the laws of nature are so strict. Everything happens for some reason. And everything is controlled. We at any point of time, we don't have that independence is saying, you know, I can do this, I can do this.
But doesn't that conflict sometimes? We say Krishna watches us but lets us do what we need to do. I mean, it doesn't dictate. That's why you do bad things too. It doesn't dictate everything.
But you are acting under always modes. You may not be under control of Krishna, but you are always under control of material nature. Durga Devi. So once you really take shelter of Krishna, he will take control of you. He will give you intelligence, he will ask you to do this. But here, if you are not controlled, basically Prabhupada gives example of a jail. Right? When government, right? When you are outside, now right now all of us, right? Like as good citizens, you have a freedom to do some stuff. Right? We have freedom. Right now I can get up and go in the car, I can go drive, nobody will stop. But if you are not a good citizen, if you do commit some, you know, crime or something, they will be put into jail. And there, your independence is? Completely curtailed. You are always under the control. So we are like that. We are with Krishna, full independence, you know, because we are Sachidananda, always, you know, joyful and this. When we committed some crime, we are put into this. So this, actually this material world is considered as a prison house without
walls.
Prison without walls.
Yeah.
We don't need walls. Because you are always controlled by the modes. always under the controls.
The gunas.
Yeah, always. No doubt at all, anytime.
So Krishna explains that principle later on, like in 7th chapter, 9th chapter, his relationship with the material world, like how he is simultaneously the one who is controlling, at the same time not directly interfering. So this is like this Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, which will be discussed later.
Okay. Is that the free will concept?
No, this is free will. Is this is about Krishna's relationship with the material world, like how he simultaneously he is a controller, at the same time he doesn't interfere. Like he is aloof. He created everything, so he is the controller. But at the same time, he is aloof in the sense he doesn't go and tiny things as well. Like, let me do this exactly. He's all under.
He doesn't interfere with them.
It all happens by just by his will. Krishna desire, see, we desire something, nothing happens, right? But Krishna desires, his desire is the only cause, only thing needed. Once he desires, means it's already there. So he desires his own material creation. It happens.
Will it be like the sunlight or the light where things happen and the sun, like something close to, like things are happening in the light, but the light is not directly right? I mean, like just an example, like how it
it's
cannot be affected.
The example,
like the
basically it's about how Krishna's energy is simultaneously identical and different from him. That's the principle. It's called inconceivable oneness and difference. It is that is the Achintya Veda Abheda Tattva. Many of you we heard, right? This one. So simultaneously Krishna, because all this energy is created by Krishna's material energy, simultaneously it's identical with Krishna. So he is the ultimate controller because, you know, he has created it. But at the same time, because it's indirectly related to him, it's indirect lower energy, right? He is still aloof. Material energy takes care of everything. He just, and she sets up the rules. According to the rules, everything happens.
He doesn't interfere.
Yeah, he doesn't interfere, like, you know, this person had this accident, so, oh, these are the calculations, oh, like this, this, he has so many assistants to do that. Umaraja, all these people, right? Only that's why Krishna takes interest in the material world only when souls try to come back to him. That's when he takes personal interest. Otherwise, what work does Krishna has to do? What work does Krishna do? Krishna says actually in Bhagavad Gita, I have no work and nothing. We may say, you know, Krishna created this material creation. That means he has to get some reactions. Whatever we do materially, we get reactions, right? Krishna says very clearly, you know, but whatever things I have done, there is no reactions for me. But doesn't mean, you know, Krishna is idle, bored, and, you know, he's trying to see, you know, oh, what to do next. What things does Krishna do?
Supreme enjoy.
Supreme enjoy. So his work is to enjoy. Just keep enjoying spiritual world, and there are unlimited limitations to serve him. But still he misses us. That's the whole point.
That's why it's unlimited.
Yeah.
The Mayavadi cannot explain how the individual soul came into existence simply by ignorance and consequently became covered by the illusory energy. Nor was it ever possible to cut the individual soul from the original Supreme Soul. Rather, the individual souls are eternally separated parts of Supreme Soul. Because they are atomic individual souls eternally, sanatana, they are prone to be covered by the illusory energy, and thus they become separated from the association of Supreme Lord. Just as the sparks of a fire, although one in quality with the fire, are prone to be extinguished when out of the fire. In Varaha Purana, the living entities are described as separated parts and parcel of the Supreme. They are eternally so, according to the Bhagavad Gita also. So even after being liberated from illusion, the living entity remains a separate identity, as is evident from the teachings of Lord to Arjuna. Arjuna became liberated by the knowledge received from Krishna, but he never became one with Krishna.
So this discussion is similar to, you know, what we had discussed regarding individuality, right? The 2.12 verse where Krishna stresses the individuality, where Prabhupada talks so much about Mayavadi, right? We got a special class from Hariblas Prabhu. Never was the time I did not exist, nor you, nor all these things, nor in the future there shall any of us cease to be. So that's the same discussion again. Prabhupada is saying that, you know, the soul is always individual. It's like, you know, tiny spark from the fire. But it doesn't mean, and but it's the same, because it's small, it can be extinguished when it's out of the connection with the main fire. So similarly, we are also tatastha. So we can be influenced by material energy or spiritual energy. But at the same time, we are always individual. It's not that once we get liberated, we merge or lose our individuality. So that's why Prabhupada is saying Arjuna became liberated by knowledge received from Krishna. But after that doesn't mean, you know, he lost, right? I mean, in a sense, he didn't exist anymore. He continued fighing.
What does this sentence mean? So even after being liberated from illusion, the living entity remains a separate identity. What does the first part mean? What do you mean, liberated from illusion?
So what's the illusion? What's our real illusion now? What are we thinking?
Our ego, right?
Yeah. So basically we are ourself, we think we are our body, material body. So that's the illusion. Everybody is illusioned by that. Think we are body. So when you realize that you are a spirit soul,
okay,
that means you are away from that illusion.
Mainly Prabhupada is talking against Mayavadis, who say that only in under conditioned state we are separate. But once we get liberated, we realize that we are one. So he's telling, you know, he's actually attacking them, saying, you know, that for that philosophy doesn't work. Even in liberated conditioned state, we are individual. Liberated state, we are always individual. So always continues to be individual.
So basically here we should know the definition of liberation. Right? Should be now by this time, I think we should know what's really liberation means.
Realization that we are the eternal servants of Krishna.
That's so. When you realize that, you quit this material body. Right? Once you leave this body, you go back. So that's a real liberation.
So
not much
question,
thing.
So question. Is the world illusion?
So illusion
in
the sense
in a world of Maya that way?
So Maya is called illusory energy, but at the same time it's not false. It's true. Like it's tangible, right? I mean,
right.
I cannot say, you know, this room is in it doesn't exist, right? It exists in one sense, it doesn't exist in terms of eternity, it doesn't exist.
That's
why it's called false. But at the same time, we cannot say, you know, our distress is false. Right? Like we experience that because of identification with the body.
We call it illusion because we take things, something which is
temporary
as a
permanent. Yeah.
That's why it's illusion. Illusion means it's not that it doesn't exist, it exists.
It's like a
temporary
dream, right? In dream, whatever we see, we know it's there is nothing consequential, right?
That
because
time it looks unreal.
Yeah, so when we wake up, we immediately forget. It's like, oh, what is it anyway? I don't even know what house it is or, you know, what tiger it is. It's like that. So whatever we do in this life, it seems so important. It's like, oh, this I have to take care, that I have to take care. But the moment when we are dying, we go to the next life. What is it in us? We heard about the three lessons Alexander the Great taught us, right? Who knows about that?
One is you bring nothing, you take nothing, right?
So while passing away, Alexander the Great, he gave great wisdom to all of us. So he asked his ministers to, on the deathbed, he told them to do three things. Like, I have three wishes. He told, like, first of all, the path where I, towards my graveyard, you all put it with all diamonds, jewels, everything. The second request is, like, you bring all the
doctors.
Yeah, bring all the doctors to when I'm passing away. And the third one is, when I'm leaving, leave my hands empty outside the coffin and leave it empty, like open handed like this. Then minister said, yes boss, we are going to follow whatever you're saying, but we are curious, you know, what is the meaning of all this? We want to understand. He said, like, you know, I conquered the whole world, but I want to show to the world that, you know, none of this money is actually helping me when I am leaving this world. And then all these doctors, no, they cannot save my life. And third, I came empty-handed and I have to go leave empty-handed. I cannot take anything with me. But day to day we take it so seriously, right? Our life. It's like some small fight with wife or at work or.
And we give importance to such so small things.
Yeah.
It's like
that's why when we, you know, when we move that focus to Krishna or devotional service, we know how much to weigh them, like how much to give weightage to them. We don't unnecessarily, you know, involve too much into material energy. We just deal with it as much as is needed and but use as much of energy towards serving Krishna. We would rather, you know, sit in the class or attend kirtan than, you know, think about some word somebody said. Yeah.
See, only four. So that doesn't mean, you know, you give a family, you don't care about this, you don't care about friends, not like that, right? You should always see. So only the focus has to be changed. From self-centric to Krishna-centric. That's all. Only the focus. Once you change the focus, automatically the desires will follow. Because we are always with desires. You cannot be any time without desires. Desires are always. It's just us pointing it in a right direction. So because we are going to get eternal benefit.
So here in this sentence, the Mayavadi cannot explain how the individual soul came into existence simply by ignorance. So this is like Mayavadi's ignorance is why they are not able to explain the soul, or is it because the individual soul came into being because it was
so they
ignorant.
Say because
okay.
of ignorance they are existing here.
Okay.
Once they go back, that means without ignorance, or when they realize that, so they will go back and merge with Krishna, or they become Krishna like that. They will explain.
No, but
that's
here,
but,
yeah,
okay.
Here it's different. Here, what he's saying is, Mayavadi cannot explain how the following: the individual soul came into existence simply by ignorance, consequently became covered by illusory energy.
But the living entity will always remain separate, as in, like the soul will always remain separate. Even
yeah,
you are saying merging with the super soul.
That is another.
Because again, there is a Mayavadi philosophy.
Oh, that is a Mayavadi philosophy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of merging with the super power.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay.
Let's go to text 24.
अचलोऽयं सनातनः अच्येत्योऽयं अग्रेयो सुषेयवचः नित्यसर्वकारस्थानुः अचलोऽयं सनातनः.
So translation, this individual soul is unbreakable and insoluble and can be neither burned nor dried. He is everlasting, present everywhere, unchangeable, immovable, and eternally the same.
See, Krishna is trying to cover from different angles.
Mm.
So he doesn't want to leave any room for, you know, interpretations at some point of time. No? He is covering all angles. Same thing here. Again, he is talking about like how the soul is immortal. Right? It's all about immortality. He's talking about immortality.
But our soul is different from the body. Because
yes.
He's comparing to what can happen to the body.
Body, what
and
cannot.
Saying that it doesn't happen
this
in
the. So these two verses, 24 and 25, discusses 10 characteristics of soul. So in the exam or some answer, right, he will give, he lists some characteristics of soul. Then you can state, is unbreakable, insoluble, neither burned nor dried. One of some of these 10.
Yes.
All these qualifications of the atomic soul definitely prove that the individual soul is eternally the atomic particle of the spirit whole, and he remains the same atom eternally, without change. The theory of monism is very difficult to apply in this case, because the individual soul is never expected to become one homogeneously. After liberation from material contamination, the atomic soul may prefer to remain as a spiritual park in the effulgent rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the intelligent souls enter into the spiritual planets to associate with the Personality of Godhead. The word Sarvagata, all pervading, is significant because there is no doubt that living entities are all over God's creation. They live on the land, in the water, in the air, within the earth, and even within fire. The belief that they are sterilized in fire is not acceptable because it is clearly stated here that the soul cannot be burned by fire. Therefore, there is no doubt that there are living entities also in the sun planet with suitable bodies to live there. If the sun globe is uninhabited, then the word sarvagata, living everywhere, becomes meaningless.
Very nice. So this also, if he says, you know, scientists, to defeat the scientists, because right now they go to moon and they say there are no living entities, right? That's what. But anyway, Prabhupada says you cannot enter the higher planets. Moons are considered heavenly planet. Moon, sun, right? They're all higher planets, higher heavenly planets. You cannot go by material means, like all this rocket or whatever they're trying to go, right? They can never go to the higher planets. Only way you can go to higher planets is, heavenly planets is, by doing?
More pious.
More like pious. No, if you do pure devotion service, you will not go to heavenly planets.
No, good karma, I said.
Good karma, yeah. So only by doing, you know, the pious activities, right? So that way only you can slowly go different planets. And moon planets, yeah, if you want to go to moon planet, you have to worship the moon god, right? When you worship moon god, you can go to. But material means you cannot go. So Prabhupada said, people never went to moon. We have, right? Apollo 13 or whatever. So Prabhupada clearly said, that's a fake. Fake means they would have gone somewhere in between planets. See, once you take off, you don't know what planets in between, right? We don't know exactly, you know, time, everything changes, altitude, this, that, we don't know. Actually, they say nobody can see. So maybe they can go and land in any planets they want. Means asteroids, all these things will be there. You can go land in somewhere and, you know, come back. So Prabhupada never agreed with that thing. Actually, he was there that time when they landed, right? I think he was there, Prabhupada. No, he was watching.
I heard in one of the purports that moon is farther than sun, right? I think so.
And you know,
actually when he was watching that news article, somebody was reading, somebody was doing massage and everything, Prabhupada, they told Prabhupada, it seems, you know, they landed in the moon, like that they were telling. Prabhupada said no, they didn't land. So moon is farther away from sun, and also you need piety to go there.
Yeah,
you cannot just by means, you can, some vehicle you can't take. See, for us also we need visa, right, to go to some other country. Just by, you know, taking one vehicle can we go? Like, we can't go, right? So like that, the visa is the pious credit we need
to
go to a particular planet. The otherwise, those people will not allow us to enter there, the gates.
How will they enter? Here only, if you want to come to US, they will kick us out, right? If you don't come without proper visa, they will send you back. How will the moon planet, that's heavenly planet, and the people there, they live longer and they are without disease, death, all those things.
Generally, we go with all of them and create nonsense.
They'll never allow. So, but anyway, because we are educated, you know, all this from childhood, right? Moon, it's all part of history or some subjects. This all Darwin's theory, all this moon planet, all this thing.
It's a of Mars destruction.
Yeah, Mars. Now I think they're planning to go to Mars. And they're saying, you know,
one
Mars
ticket.
Is so bright, it's like a one-way ticket. They take off from here. They don't know when, how many years they take, decades to go there. And by that time, the generation will be gone. And they cannot even come back. Anyway, that's all scientists, you know, they want to do, try out some different things. Yeah, because these are all, they want to lord over the nature. That's a propensity is there. They want to prove that they are the lord or they are the god under the control.
But Mars is not a heavenly planet, is it?
Hmm.
Mars is a heavenly planet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, like,
is there mention of Mars?
Mars
in the scriptures and all, is
there
mentioned?
I don't know. Chamba.
Mangal.
All the nine planets.
Mangal Gray is Mars.
But living entities are there for sure,
but
we cannot.
Prabhu, there is a confusing thing here. He is everlasting, present everywhere. So soul is present in the. We have talked about soul being inside the body, near the heart, and now it's saying present everywhere. So
no, he's saying present everywhere means in the. He lives on the land, in the water, in the air, within
means
the earth.
There's not a place where soul cannot exist. That's the point. Not that one soul is existing everywhere.
Not one soul. This is multiple souls existing multiple places.
It's like soul can be in water, soul can be in fire, soul can be
in water.
Living entity only.
Yeah, in water.
So anything can have, souls can be anywhere. So rocks can have souls too.
Yeah, yeah, inside there
no,
is.
No, not like that.
Oh, you meant the rock itself, it's a soul.
No, it has a soul, so.
That's too much of speculation.
No, not rock. Inside rock, there may be atoms and all with the soul.
Bacteria or something, they have soul. Anything which is moving, conscious, that has soul. Right?
Yeah, not
and
by
the point
rock.
Is, anywhere, souls can exist. We cannot say, no, in fire, there is no soul.
Hmm.
That's what the point is. There are bodies soul can take, which is suitable to live in the fire.
Hmm.
See how we see living entities in the water, right? Can we imagine like us staying in water for more than one day or 2 days, right? It's not our natural habitat, like location, right?
Few minutes, not only.
Yeah. So, but then there are some entities forever. If they come out, they will die.
Yeah, they cannot.
Right. So.
So basically, we cannot, make a statement saying because I see it here. So the souls are present only here. So that's what Prabhupada is trying to say is, because we are conditioned and we have the defects, so we cannot judge. The whole thing is the knowledge, we cannot change the scriptures. Whatever the conclusion is coming from the scripture, we cannot change it. It says, scripture says there are living entities in the fire. That means by just logical reasoning, we see water inside. So that means it should be. We cannot just reject saying, I don't see it, so I don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of Prabhupada is trying to
say. That's why it's very important, good that you brought up, Prabhu. This point, sarvagata, all pervading, you should understand very clearly. So it's not that one soul is existing everywhere. That is who?
Krishna.
The super soul, right? Super. There are, how many super souls are there in this room?
There's one super soul.
Super soul is only one.
It's not like there are multiple instances created. It's like, because the thing is, how does super soul know what I'm feeling, what you're feeling simultaneously?
If there are two different
right?
super souls.
I see.
So he is one. It's like, it's described as a sun's reflection on multiple pots with water. Then if you put many pots with water, you will see many suns, right? But it's one sun.
Then we talk about the two birds going everywhere together and...
Yes, exactly.
It's confusing, like if you have two birds inside of two
birds.
No,
that's why we think...
The
think
reflection
some,
of Lord is what you are...
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
just
so
one only.
Yes, but Lord... Yeah, Lord... He can do all those things, that's why. He need not divide himself into many parts to do this. He can, even if he does, he will probably have a distributed communication mechanism where he will
so
figure out.
So that's super soul, but is not like a part of.
Yeah,
supreme,
exactly.
It's not a part of the supreme
yes,
soul, right?
Yeah.
Like
it's not like,
soul.
I break into multiple pieces
okay.
wherein, yeah, exactly.
There is no one super soul in this room, man. There's one super soul in this temple. You can actually keep.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
There's always one. Paramatma is one.
Paramatma is only, he is a Vishnu actually. He is a Vishnu, 400 Vishnu. So he stays in everybody's heart.
So he is one, and then there is Supreme Soul also.
Supreme Soul is Super Soul, that's how we...
Super Soul or Supreme Soul, whatever you call it.
Oh,
it's super
because here
soul.
It is different, right? In the previous purport, you said that Super Soul is Paramatma.
Yeah, Super Soul.
And Paramatma, Super Soul or Krishna is one.
Oh, okay.
No, Krishna, Bhagavan. Paramatma is expansion of Bhagavan, right? Krishna. We have three realizations opposite of truth, eh? Brahman,
mm-hmm.
Paramatma and Bhagavan.
Mm-hmm.
Bhagavan is Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So, Paramatma is expansion of Krishna. Right?
Those are types of realizations, right?
But they are in the sense
it's a realize, that...
It's an expansion also.
And Brahman is what?
Effulgence.
Brahman is the impersonal realization of the Lord, right? The effulgence of the Lord. That's what here it said, right? Some people... After liberation from material contamination, the atomic soul may prefer to remain as a spiritual spark in the effulgent rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is Brahman realization. Some people are attracted to being impersonal. So they can just remain as a spark. They don't have any activity, no form, nothing. Just remain as a spark. But the intelligent souls enter into spiritual planets to associate with the personality of Godhead. So this is Bhagavan realization, where you are eligible to go and have pastimes with the Lord. So you have multiple destinations to go.
Yeah, we basically we know our mind is so this thing, we try to analyze and you know try to understand, but we'll never be able to understand. You slowly it will get revealed. That's how the spiritual knowledge is.
So basically main thing is, as we do devotional service, we will be able to easily understand many things.
Mm-hmm.
Gradually as time
gradually
comes.
It comes. Yeah, we'll never, and particularly it said that, you know, even Krishna only says the karma, right? How karma works.
It's very difficult.
You will never be able to understand.
Intricate.
It's so intricate, you will be never be able to understand how it works. Very, very complicated. Krishna says that. Because sometimes, you know, the people, they try to analyze and try to, you know, avoid if something karma
kids
is trying to come or this thing.
Okay, my son was asking, how does karma work? I told him,
I know. Yes, I figure out.
Yeah, Krishna says even great sages cannot figure out.
Yeah, great sages, they cannot make out how it works.
Yeah, because once you figure out, then you know what's coming next, right?
Just
so, that's what's there.
Yeah, anyway, our lifespan is so short.
Yeah.
So if you go, you know, try to understand all these things, then you'll be gone by that time. You'll lose the time. And human life is very, very, very
precious.
Rare.
You told about this wasting time. So I was hearing one lady called Vishakha Hari. She gives all good stories and all. So she was giving a story about Purandaradasa. From Karnataka only, right? So he's the father of the Carnatic music. So when he started out, he was a businessman. He was called Navakoti Nayaka. He had 9 crores of gold coins. And he was still saying that it's not enough. He wants 10 crores. So he's always thinking of money, money, money. Then what happens, his wife is a very pious woman. And she, one man comes to visit her. And he first goes to, he is called Chinappa Nayak. He goes to him and asks him for money for his son's thread ceremony. Chinappa Nayak chases him out. He actually beats him and chases him out. He doesn't give him money. He goes to his wife. He doesn't know it's his wife. He goes to his wife and he asks, I'm doing this. So she doesn't have, she has a lot of money, but she's afraid of touching it. So she gives her nose ring to him. Says, you do this. So this fellow goes, takes and says this, because he's like a set kind of thing, right? Where you keep girvi, you keep mortgage.
Keep.
So he comes to him and says, here, you keep this and give me money. So now this guy is, I know this ring, my wife is wearing it. So he says, you be here, I'll be back. He puts it in the thing, locks it. He goes over to his house and asks, show me your nose ring that my father-in-law gave. So she prays to God and in the tulsi dust she finds it and she brings it out. Now he takes it, goes there to the shop, he opens the locked thing, it's not there. Then he realizes...
Not there, it's there.
It's not, not there, that thing is not there, now it's back here. In his, so he goes back to his wife and asks what happened. And she says, you know, this man came and... He told me that he wanted to thread ceremony, so without your permission I gave this ring, but by God's grace I got it. So then Chinappa Nayaka looks into it and it seems that he realizes that he is the reincarnation of Narada, and Krishna sent him, or Narayana sent him to earth to sing his praise, right? Because up to then there were not too many people singing his praise. So after him there was like a plethora of songs. He wrote lakhs and lakhs of songs. So he realizes that. And then he says, come wife, we have to go now and we have to start glorifying the God. She says, we have 9 crore gold coins. Let us start distributing it. And he says, you know, if we start distributing it, all our time and effort will be going. You leave everything and they walk out with their kids. I was stunned when I heard.
Oh,
after that, he never never quit singing about God. Every day, 10-15 songs for 10-20 years. lakhs and lakhs of songs he has written. Only a few have survived.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, they say it was written in extremely simple Kannada.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very powerful. I've heard some of the songs and they are really, you know, it's very powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Lord sends, you know, his representatives to save the people. That's how, that's his one of the, he, what's his, why, that, that's his main, right?
What is the purpose in which
he, yeah, why he comes to the mainly to Krishna, he came for some reason.
He tells right in Bhagavad Gita for what reasons he comes.
Paritranaya swadunam vinashaya chatashkriya sanstapa nartaya sambhavami.
And after that, yadahayatari.
Yeah.
So, you know, to kill all the impious people, to attract all the devotees,
To re-establish
the kingdom of religion, he comes. So that's one of his goals, right? To send his representatives, right? Like for example, like same thing here, right? This Prabhupada alone himself, he just came to US. He got, of course, through Guru Parampara, he got a message saying, you know, go distribute, write Bhagavad Gita and distribute in English language. Go spread the message. One person, different countries. We will not be here, right? Without having this book or the message, we will not be here. So that's how Lord sends devotees to spread. And I'm pretty sure some of you will be, you know, you'll also be like an instrument like that. No, you'd never know. That's why, you know, once you get convinced, once you, know, realize the importance of the knowledge, and of course, jnana, realize knowledge also, just not the knowledge. You'll never be able to do with just the knowledge. Nobody will listen, actually. So you should have both knowledge and you practice, then realize knowledge, then you go talk to somebody. When they see you, you know, they see your behavior, and nobody will say, I don't want to be like you, you know, if like a good, no, who will say, I don't want to be a good person, right? Nobody will say, somebody. So then you interact with others. That's how the Lord helps others. Always Lord comes, the instruction comes through devotees. That's how it is. You will never be able to approach Krishna directly. That's very, very dangerous, risky. You can, if you are really elevated person, you can approach him directly, but the risk is so much. If you commit some offenses or something,
yeah.
So higher you go, the fall will be
mightier
or
yeah.
Bad, right?
Yeah.
Fall from the top. So that's why it's always safer to be a servant, right? That's why it's dasanu, dasanu, das, right?
Yeah.
Servant of the servant of the servant.
17.
Yeah, that's how it's dasanu, 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 das. So, it's better, servant, servant. That's how you serve the Lord. Because you go through, you know somebody is more closer to Krishna, they can serve better. So, like basically train, that's how it, disciplic succession is, that's how it works. You have to always go through Guru Parampara.
So, in this translation, you said 10 characteristics, but I see 9.
Oh, the two verses.
Oh, the two verses.
This one and that one. So, 24 and 25. So, the one is unbreakable and insoluble. The second one is neither burned nor dried. You can divide it into two, actually. So, here you have about 7, I think. 11,
actually.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then next you have 3 more. Invisible,
unbreakable, insoluble, neither burned nor dry.
Yeah, you can either count as one or
okay.
Have two.
So everlasting.
So unbreakable one, insoluble.
Yes. If you count as one, then you will get more than 10. Yes. You have maybe like 12 or something. Though.
Yeah, 10 to 12.
Immovable is again, kind of immovable.
Everywhere is also.
So he's saying everywhere, and then the same line says immovable. So. But if soul is immovable, then we are talking about.
No, that means you cannot.
You cannot force other soul.
You cannot force it. But you cannot move it, but it moves on its own.
Yeah, it depends how, you know, meaning we understand the English meanings of it. We should know Sanskrit. Achala, what is Achala? That's
achala.
What it
is.
Achala
is immovable.
Yeah, what I've written down from my studies are, though covered, it is still in spiritual plane, hence it's not movable. So basically, move in the sense of being affected kind of thing. Being affected by illusory energy. So even though we are covered, we are not, you know, still, its soul is still Sachidananda. It's not like it's touched by something material. Hence it's immovable. Stop this.
8:35, 8:30, stop it here.